A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.
Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Another week is here. It's another Thursday. If you're listening on post day, you know that is the day we bring you brand new episodes of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Wherever you're listening, anywhere in the world, thank you for doing so. Whether you're grabbing the show from podcast1.com, iTunes, or maybe the all-new, extremely cool Podcast One app. Hope you guys have had a chance to check the app out. It really is cool. There's so many great things you can do with it. It is really next level stuff and a very cool way to listen to my podcast and all the others with a bunch of cool content as well. So you really should check it out. It is really awesome. There's no other podcast app like this, truly. You can download the all-new Podcast One app now in the App Store or on Google Play. You can find out everything about your favorite shows, get more content for my show, articles, social media. You can share content. It's awesome. There's even some 360 videos on there. It looks so cool. So many things you can do, really. Have a look, grab it, put it on your device. A great way to listen to the Eddie Trunk Podcast and all the other podcasts that are here on Podcast One through the all-new Next Level Podcast One app. Check it out when you get a chance. And remember, my friends, if you're going to be doing any shopping online, be sure to start with my store on Amazon. That's right. I got my own storefront. It's really easy to find, too. It's amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Couldn't be easier. Bookmark that. Some items on there that I custom pick and select that would be of interest to you right there on that page, and they will change week to week. And you can take a look at those, some of the things that I thought would be cool to put in my store, and you can either buy them, or if you don't, just move on to wherever you want to go on the site. Just start with my page. It would be greatly appreciated. Again, amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Couldn't be easier. Appreciate you checking out my store. Appreciate you starting your shopping through that URL. And that would be very, very cool if you did that. So thank you for your support. So today, my goodness, I don't know how often we've ever done this, maybe once or twice in the history of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, but we have a triple header. Three interviews for you in one loaded podcast. We start with the legends, the icons, Cheap Trick, all four members of the band dropping by just as their tour with Foreigner and Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience, which is out there right now, is happening. Had less time than I thought I would with all four guys, but it's always fun when I see them. They are old friends. They are a great band. Have so many stories with Cheap Trick, and it's always fun when they drop by. So, Robin Zander, the ageless one. Tom Peterson, the master of the 12-string bass. Rick Nielsen, the mad professor of guitar. And the young Dax Nielsen manning the drums. All four will be dropping by. Cheap Trick with a great album out as well right now. Their second one in like 2 years called We're All Right. We'll touch on that as well. So Cheap Trick up first. Then we segue to some brand new blood. A new band on the scene from Michigan called Greta Van Fleet. All four members of that band join me. But now, when I tell you a young band, I'm talking ridiculously young. These two of these kids just graduated high school. They got a tremendous, they got a major label record deal. They've got major representation. They've got major buzz as just maybe being that young new rock band that breaks through and gives everything a kick in the ass. Will they be it? I don't know. Right now, they've only got an EP out. Right now, they are a band that some feel too much sounds like Led Zeppelin, which we discuss in the interview. I mean, they are blatantly Led Zeppelin sounding. But they have a take on that. And as I've said to many who have asked me about this band, and many have, it's really hard to tell what this band is going to be and if they have the goods until we get a full-length record or two out of them. Right now, we're dealing with a couple of the guys 17, 18 years old, just really getting started and obviously showing their influences very, very prominently. Let's see what they turn into. Let's see when they get a little more experience. Let's see if they, if and when, which I'm sure they will, get a little bit more originality in their sound. But my God, this singer, he's just the guy, and he's got a little swagger to him too, which is good. But my God, does he sound like Robert Plant in his prime. If you watch the video they have out, he's even holding the mic cord in the mic like Robert Plant would. It's pretty amazing. So there's a lot of people that are very high on this band and very excited about this band, and that's very cool and that's great. And there's a lot of people kind of taking a wait-see attitude about them, and that's fine and understandable as well. So we'll see. We'll see what they turn into. But some brand new blood, new young band, some time with the entire, all the members of the band Greta Van Fleet. And then we wrap up, last but certainly not least, with an old friend, Mike Portnoy. I saw Mike just recently at the David Z Memorial that took place in New York City last Friday. I was honored to be able to get up and say a few words about the great David Z and a great friend to me and so many others, and just still so tragic. He was killed, in case you had not heard, in that adrenaline mob accident while they were on the road. I did get a chance to see Russell Allen and Mike Orlando. They were both there. Mike is still a bit banged up, but doing okay. Russ is doing a little bit better, sustained less injuries. And it was just a very emotional night as so many in the music community came out in New York to celebrate David Z. A second memorial took place at the Whiskey in L.A. this past Tuesday. But Mike Portnoy is on with me in a very fresh interview because he has announced another all-new band. The band is called Sons of Apollo. They were officially announced on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. It's a band that Mike has been teasing and talking about for a while, and the lineup, the full lineup is now revealed. It includes Derek Sherinian, Bumblefoot, Billy Sheehan, and who am I forgetting? Oh, Jeff Scott Soto on vocals. Have not heard any of the music yet. It is still getting finalized and mastered. But there's a little clip out. It sounds pretty darn cool. There are a lot of people that have heard this new music and Needless to say, everybody has differing opinions, not necessarily on the music, but really, because I should take that back. A lot of people haven't heard the music, but a lot of people with their own opinions and criticisms of Portnoy having yet another band. And many fans of the Winery Dogs extremely concerned that you have two-thirds of the Winery Dogs in this band, Richie Kotzen out solo once again, wondering about the future, if any, for the Winery Dogs. And both Kotzen and, as you're about to hear, Mike and Billy have all maintained that the Winery Dogs are not broken up and will reconvene at a later date. But at this point, I don't see that at all being even possible before 2019. Speaking of the Winery Dogs, their brand new DVD / Blu-ray has just come out. Had a chance, actually, when I'm done recording this podcast, I'm going to sit down and watch it on my big screen. So a little bit of a holdover until we see what the future holds for that band. But Portnoy announcing this new band, Sons of Apollo, and his first ever interview talking about that band, I'll bring to you as the third and final interview this week on the Eddie Trunk podcast. And I do talk to Mike about the fact that he is in so many bands. And he is a guy that got a lot of criticism for that and still does. But if you think about it, and I'm sincere when I say this, Portnoy really started this trend with rock acts. He took a lot of blowback for it when he first did it. But let's be honest, how many bands do you know where the members are not in at least one other band, if not two or three? I mean, it is totally commonplace. We see it all the time now. So say what you will about it, but he started something and now a lot of other people are doing the multitasking, multi-band thing. And that is discussed as well in the interview. So first Cheap Trick, then Greta Van Fleet, and then we wrap up with Mike Portnoy, a triple-headed monster this week for the Eddie Trunk podcast. As usual, these interviews are courtesy of my daily show on Sirius XM Radio on channel 106 volume. That show is called Trunk Nation. You can hear it live Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, and replay every night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern time, again on channel 106 on Sirius XM Radio. Also, all of the shows are on demand shortly after they happen to download or stream free. If you are a subscriber to Sirius XM on the Sirius XM app, what you get here on the podcast as far as the interviews is just scratching the surface of the interviews that I do and the shows that I do on a daily basis, 5 days a week on volume, as well as the sixth show that I do on Hair Nation. Also, don't forget my terrestrial radio show on stations across America, which is more music based, and that is called Eddie Trunk Rocks. A complete list of places to hear that is on my site, eddietrunk.com, under live and on the air. Be sure to check my site, merch, music news updated daily, my blog, which is The Trunk Report. You can email me through the website, social media, at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Instagram and certainly by far Twitter, where I would be the most active and keep you most up to date with what's going on. My next appearance will be August 12th, Sierra View Music Festival, Oakdale, California. Hope to see you guys out there if you're headed that way and in that part of the country. Should be a lot of fun. Some great bands performing. Appearances, as they are confirmed, will be on eddietrunk.com. And I will have something in Houston shortly after, somewhere around the 17th and 18th of August. Keep a close eye. That'll be coming up and be announced very soon. And some other appearances pending as well. I also am excited to announce that I have agreed to terms for a brand new TV series that I will be hosting. It is not related to That Metal Show in any way. The hunt continues to find a believer and a network for That Metal Show, but I do have something new coming that I'll be doing, and I'll be doing my first shooting for that very soon. As a matter of fact, I'll be shooting a day in Sturgis coming up at the Sturgis rally. But I can't give out the details just yet on what it is or where it's going to premiere, but it will be on TV. It'll premiere early next year, and I'll be able to share all details with you for it very, very soon. bringing that up because you may see me out and about at some music festivals and with a camera and doing some stuff and wondering what the hell's going on. Well, all will be revealed very soon as far as that is concerned. Very excited to share that with you. Some other stuff in the works as well. And again, I'm still asked all the time about TMS, and I greatly appreciate people asking about TMS. And as I often say, nobody wants TMS back more than me, but it is completely out of my hands, you guys. As I've said repeatedly, I do not own it. I do not control it. I do not have anything to do with if, when, and where it resurfaces. If it does, I will be back on board with it in 2 seconds flat. All right, let's get a break in. We'll get Cheap Trick. We'll get Greta Van Fleet. And we'll finish up with Mike Portnoy. Thanks for listening to this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast. All that coming up.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, are you somebody in a position to be hiring? And if so, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? I mean, sometimes it's hard finding the talent, the qualified people you need for whatever the job may be. And that, of course, is key to running a successful business. Well, let me tell you about ZipRecruiter. You can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. And then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people, because let's face it, that's what you want, the right people to your job. And it does it better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate, ready for this, in just 24 hours. There's no juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all, and I mean all sizes, to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results, because that's what you want, qualified people. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Yes, you heard me right. That's free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/trunk, T-R-U-N-K. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trunk, my last name, T-R-U-N-K. One more time. You heard me right. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/trunk.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. Now, if you're hearing my voice, it means you like podcasting. And if you like podcasting, well, then you're going to love my show. Lots of funny segments, good bits, great guests, and of course, moi. That's Mexican for me. So check it out at Podcast One, iTunes, or wherever you listen to fine podcasts. The Adam Carolla Show. Throw it on your phone. It's free.
Ah, yes, TrueCar. When you are looking to buy a car and you want to make sure that you're getting real pricing on actual inventory, well, unfortunately, a lot of times this isn't the case. People configure cars online only later to find out, guess what? Bummer. They are not available. And what good is that? What a waste of time that is. With TrueCar, you get real pricing on actual inventory. It's not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual dealer. And not just any dealer, but a TrueCar certified dealer. It's a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you competitive market price. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. Next, TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the same car you're looking for. And now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. There's over 13,000 TrueCar Certified Dealers nationwide, and you work directly with a TrueCar Certified Dealer contact. TrueCar users, well, they are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they are connected with TrueCar Certified Dealers. And TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, you visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Eddie Trunk back with you, back with the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Interview number one of three this week is some time with a legendary band, recently went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Old friends, always a blast to get together and see them. We unfortunately only had about 20 minutes, but you're going to hear those 20 minutes right now. Again, from my volume show, which is daily on SiriusXM. That's where this audio is courtesy of. Ladies and gentlemen, Cheap Trick on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. We've got some grizzled veterans in here right now.
Grizzled is the key word there.
The great Cheap Trick. Good to see you guys.
Hey, Eddie.
It's a little, I had no idea yesterday that you were even coming in. I was going to see you, and it's great to see you. Robin Zander is here. Good to see you, Robin.
That's good to see you, Eddie. How's
Dax,
things?
Great. Dax Nielsen, good to see you, Dax.
Always a pleasure,
What's
Eddie.
Up with the shirt there?
That stands for Monsters of Rock Cruise.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's the cruise that I host. Rick Nielsen is here.
I'm not going on that cruise. Oh, hi, Eddie.
I'm not.
It's a pleasure to see you, as always, and it's like... are you going to write our set list again?
Oh, what an honor that was. Before we get to that, Tom Peterson as well. Good to see you, Tom.
Hi, Eddie. Tom Monsters of Rock Cruise?
Yeah. Tom was going to take my seat, and I was going to sit in the guest chair if you want to host and come around, Tom.
What's the difference?
It's already warmed up.
It's already written out what you're going to say. we have to just wing it.
If you sit here, you get paid. Not really? A lot, but you get something.
Oh, okay.
Over there, you're just the guest.
SiriusXM is huge, so you must be making billions.
My helicopter's on the roof. That's how I get back to Jersey.
All right.
Yeah. So, you guys are on tour. Always on tour. When is Cheap Trick not on tour?
When we're not on tour.
Which is
when
very
we're in the studio working.
Yeah. Making records.
Well, that's the other thing we got to get to in a second. But first, as far as the tour is concerned, you're out now. The bill is Foreigner and Jason Bonham doing his Zeppelin experience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so it's cool. We're kind of in the middle, like a sandwich of two bands that are playing cover tunes.
Well, yeah, because Foreigner has no original guys.
And Mick Jones.
And Bonham.
And Bonham is
doing Led Zeppelin.
Right. So wait a minute. Has Mick Jones been on any of the shows?
Yeah, he's on
all
of them.
Yeah. Has
he come out for the whole set, or what's he been doing?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's out there most of the shows.
He's the dancers. He's the background singer.
He does the sound
and
lights.
What do you mean?
He does everything.
He drives the bus.
He's amazing.
God.
I love Mick.
He has to do everything.
No, I love Mick too, but there's been a lot of shows and over the years he does not play at all.
Not this time.
I called him in December, and when we heard that we were going to do this, and I said, Mick, you're coming out, right? I said, Mick, you're coming out. I said, otherwise we're not going to do it. I said, we're aligned with you. You know, you're it. You're the songwriter. You're the guy. Here's the guy that we partied our brains out together with, and he said, "Oh yeah," you know. So I made him laugh, and that was, and now we're still making him laugh.
The thing that's cool about it is these bands are all great players. I mean, they're all on top of it.
Yeah, that guy that sings for Jason's band.
Wow,
great. I mean, looks nothing like Robert Plant, which is kind of cool. You don't want. Why would you want a guy that look like him? But my God, can he sing that stuff?
Oh yeah, and he's got these crazy kind of spooky moves. He's unique, man. That guy's good.
Yeah, I forget his name, and he actually
James.
Yeah.
James Dillon.
Yes, thank you, Dax.
And Marshall Dillon.
I knew something you didn't.
Yeah,
how did that happen?
It's
a first.
That's the truth.
You know, I don't know. Well, this might be something you guys don't know, but do you know? And I don't know if this. I don't think it's a big deal. People know this, but do you know what he does when he's not singing in the band and where they found him?
He's a painter, isn't he?
No, he told me that he was like
brain surgeon.
No, like a DC guy, like high up in the political DC world. Like he works for some,
like a lobbyist.
Or something?
Yeah, he works for Trump.
I don't know who he works for. I don't know what side of the aisle he's on, but I know he has some sort of DC sort of political thing. I could be a little off.
I noticed that during his stage performance.
Now, they're all good guys, you know. We're having a lot of fun out there.
And but that's interesting what you said, Rick. That it would have been a deal breaker for you if Mick didn't play these shows.
Yeah, we toured with the original Foreigner way back in the day, and actually tomorrow night, I think, I guess Mick has brought a couple of the guys.
Lou,
yeah, yeah.
And we hear these rumors all the time, so we'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. I think
the drummer will be there too, and the keyboard player.
Two or three or four of them, you know.
Well, Lou, Mick,
Ian, I think.
Well, Mick was here on this show with me just before the tour, a month or two, a couple months ago, and he said at that point that Lou had an open invite to come out and do some shows.
Yeah.
And then I had Lou on this show more recently and Lou's like, I'm not really sure what's going on with that. And I don't, because the tour started like right upstate New York, mm-hmm. right by where Lou is
Syracuse.
From.
Yeah.
And Lou's like, I will not be at that show. I'm like, oh, there's trouble already. But if he might be coming out, that would.
Yeah, well, it's not up to us.
It seems like it would make sense, doesn't it?
It would.
But, you know, we like Lou. We want him to come out and see him. What the heck, you know?
I mean, nice I said this to Lou. I said to Lou when I talked to him, I said, I mean, to me, along with the man sitting right here, Mr. Zander, some of the greatest vocals ever on all those great records.
You're here.
And Lou, I said to him, I go, if you were to be back in the band on a full-time basis, could you tour at the level that Foreigner tours? And he goes, absolutely not. He admitted he couldn't do it as a full-time thing. But he said, could I come out and do some shows? Absolutely. So uh-huh. I hope health-wise he can, and I hope he does get out there and sing some, because, and I hope he still has his pipes, because he's been through a lot.
Well, Eddie, I don't know if you know this or not, but Cheap Trick played a show, a private show once, and Lou was there, and he was on that show, and he sounded great.
Recently?
Yeah. Well, not that recently.
Last year ago. It was in Woodstock, Illinois, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we know he can still sing. It's not that.
Right. Right. Well, I love that guy, and I mean, I love his voice, and I hope he gets to. This is a 40th anniversary tour for them, so I hope he gets out and claims his turf a little
bit.
Us
too. Yeah.
You guys have been 40 years. That's right?
Exactly. Our records came out at the same time.
Wow.
They're sold.
We toured back then too.
They're sold a hell of a lot more.
Yeah. But that's a minor detail.
Did you have big history with Foreigner back in the day when
we
you
toured
first started?
When those records came out?
Did a bunch of shows. I got this cool picture. I'll show you. Just keep talking, but it's hard to see.
Because it is radio.
We toured back then, and their record is out, and ours is out. And like Tom said, theirs went gangbusters, and ours fell in the toilet.
That's what we get for playing all the time,
right.
ahead of time. They just started up out of the blue sky,
right.
and we're huge.
Yeah.
Speaking of records, can I ask you guys, I mean, are you on steroids or
yes.
performance-enhancing drugs of any kind?
Of course.
Well, we're in the union. Yes, we have to be.
Because you have pumped out two great records recently, like a year, less than a year apart, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That are phenomenal records. This new one, We're All Right, is just has the energy of maybe what those 17-year-old kids that just walked out of here would do. It's amazing, man.
They don't have that energy.
Maybe not.
No.
They may not, Tom.
Is that green
tea? They don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Is that all it is, Robin?
That's it.
But talk about this sort of unbelievable, prolific period of Cheap Trick that's happening right now. Tom, you want to take this as far as, you know, I mean, there's a lot of artists of Cheap Trick's catalog and hits that would say, why bother making new music? It doesn't sell. Nobody cares. When we play it live, people, you guys obviously feel very differently.
Well, it's the way we always felt. Nobody cared, and you know, and it didn't sell. It's the same thing when we started. You know, you start out, you're just really trying to make, we are anyway, making records for our own enjoyment. It's just stuff that we like to hear ourselves. And if anybody else wants to hear it, that's just, you know,
it's
out of our hands, you know. But you know, it's so it's, you know, it's something we do because we enjoy doing it.
Because I mean, Robin, you well know you could easily just coast on the catalog and not make records at all. But you enjoy the creativity and the process of putting stuff out there.
Of course, I mean, we all write songs and we're all happy about it. You know, that's what we do. So why stop doing that? You know, what else would we do?
Yeah, that's what lasts for eternity, the records. You know, you're always chasing the perfect record.
And we like to play live, too, so.
Rick is showing me a picture. What am I looking at here, Rick?
That's me.
Yeah.
That's backstage.
Isn't he handsome?
He is.
And that's Mick Jones.
That's Mick Jones?
That's Mick Jones playing my checkerboard guitar.
Wow.
Mick gave that to me.
That I did not know. I would never have recognized that was Mick.
Yeah, that's
him. The second thing you didn't know.
God dang, you're losing it,
you guys,
Eddie.
Got me on the ropes here. I get nervous around Cheap Trick.
He gave that to me. He gave
really?
That, he gave that to me the other day. He says, and his PA guy said that that's the only picture he had in his house. What?
That's a little creepy.
It is creepy. That's why I like him.
Very creepy.
He's creepy like me.
Rick, pick up on the theme of what we were talking about, making new records in 2017.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You know that the guy that we're working with, Julian Raymond, and with Scott Borchetta at Big Machine, says, hey, why don't you guys do this? You know, it's like, it's not about how many we've sold or whatever. You know, it's like, because it's tough, you know. We're never going to be the next new thing. But he liked our band. He likes the music. And it's like, we've got songs. You want to go again to do it? Yeah, why? Of course. What? You know, we don't want to wait around for years. I mean, the only reason we ever waited because of a lawsuit or some hassle here or record labels folding up
or
on us.
Or we had to personally pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, we've done that.
You save your per diem.
But to see, now we're, you know, we've got our chance to go in, and we recorded a second record. We kind of had the new one, We're All Right, had that about half done, and we went and finished that. And then now we have another record that's coming out, too.
Well, we're going to get to that, because I heard you're doing a Christmas record. What the hell? Like I said,
so it's three records.
You're on PDs over here. Check their blood. What the hell's going on?
We had to get on tour.
This is nuts. Well,
and that's the best record out of all of them.
What is?
The Christmas record. We can't tell you what's
on
it.
The next record's always the best record, Tom. You're going to like
this one.
Yeah, no, it's
rock.
The best
it's Christmas
record ever.
It's got some surprises on it.
But is it... Christmas standards?
We can't tell you.
Some of each. And not the stuff you would expect to hear. It's not, you know, it's not a Bing Crosby done by Cheap Trick.
You're going to go crazy.
But there's original music in it?
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding? Okay, so it's original songs and maybe like...
Oh, a lot of cover stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's a rocker.
Is it going to come out for this Christmas?
It's coming out Halloween.
I get to play harmonica on it.
Really?
Yes.
Now, Dax.
Didn't get to. You did it already.
Yes. Yeah,
it's
jump
great.
In here, because maybe I'm assuming that having a young pup like your son, Rick.
Had nothing to do with it.
But Dax, you being in here, you know, and being in. How long have you been in the band now?
Almost 8 years.
How long you started showing up in the pictures recently?
Yeah.
You started being like really
I had to turn
in.
18 first, no.
But I'm saying, you mean you came along, you know, you were brought along into this, right?
Luckily and thankfully these guys had me here for all this time. It's
right.
Been fantastic.
But I mean now you're here, you're obviously you're included in this interview, so you're really getting to put your sort of stamp on the recorded history of Cheap Trick too, which has got to be great.
We've done three or four, you know, individual tracks. We did a Beatles cover tune. We did Skinnerd. We did a Skinnerd tune, and now I'm on three albums and we're still playing hundreds of shows a year.
That's amazing. Man. I say this. I've never said this on the air, but I remember. God, I'm dating myself.
You remember
now.
God? What's
when,
he like?
30 when you were
years,
just a baby.
30 years ago, staying in L.A. and going to I was staying at Vito Bratta's
Oakwood Garden Apartments.
Yes, at his room. We were staying. I was staying there visiting. And Vito says to me, you're not going to believe who's next to me. And they're probably up writing right now because they stay up all night writing and drinking.
And yes, we do.
And I said, who? And he said, Rick and Robin from Cheap Trick are like right next door. Get the fuck out of here. We just came back from dinner. It was late. He goes, come on, we're going to go over there. Knock on the door. You guys come. The two of you sitting around a little four-track in the kitchen. Humming and writing stuff, and you're singing. And Rick, I swear you had a jacket with beers lined in the jacket or something.
Well, I didn't want to have to keep going back to the fridge.
You hand us the drinks, and we're sitting there. You insisted we have a drink with you while you're writing. And in the middle of the night, this little kid gets up off of a cot in the back in his pajamas and comes up and is like, trying to sleep over here. And that was you.
That was me. I'm still trying to sleep. I know. Now I've got my own kid and I'm staying up all night.
Yeah, congrats. You're first, right?
Rick actually gave me the jacket with the beer holders in it. So he handed it down to me.
In fact, we'd send him out to get the beer with fake ID.
Probably go buy
fake
it.
ID.
When you have a kid, you need something much stronger than beer to get through
me.
That, right? Robin, how's your son? I saw your son perform with you, man. He was great.
Yeah, he's really cool. He's got a band called Smile. They're out in California right now as we speak for their debut. They're going to play four shows out there.
Okay.
And he's real excited and terribly nervous.
Oh, I bet.
Hopefully he will be after hearing this.
I guess.
The thing about making new music is there's a lot of bands that make it who have been doing it for as long as you guys have, and honestly, it doesn't have the energy. It's just not that good. They're mailing it in. But what is amazing about this new Cheap Trick record, I mean, Carla sent it to me, and I emailed her immediately. I'm like, this is unbelievable. I mean, the
shirts
it's as,
them?
It's as...
You liked it?
See, the energy comes from the youth.
I was going to say the energy and the rocking, but Rick, you cut loose on this record a little bit more, too.
What do you think? I'm chopped liver?
No, yeah, but really, you're killing us here. You're letting it fly a little bit
good,
more.
Good, I wanted to. You know, that's the freedom of people behind us saying, yeah, get out there and do it. You know, we were told 25, 30 years ago that we didn't know how to write anymore and we weren't any good. You know, we're over the
Who
hill.
Who told you that?
Oh, the people that
Everyone.
Aren't working for us. People that aren't working for us. Record labels people, management people, producer people. And finally, we got somebody that says, you know, because we always believed in ourselves. We were too dumb to quit. I mean, that's the quote we use or I use or whatever. We're too dumb to quit. But it's like, well, God, we have this, you know, she's live. Sometimes I feel like, man, we're really good. And, you know, and Robin says, you know, some of our mistakes are better than most people's actual performances. You know, we go at it like it really means something all the time. And so we go and record. We don't just... You know, we're a little lazy, maybe, but not really. You know, it's like he's out busting his butt singing, you know,
there's
killing
a lot of,
his voice.
A lot of spontaneous things happen in the studio this
Rick
time played, around on both those records.
You know, just you play a solo it. Like you feel, as opposed to thinking too much, you know. Thinking too much in this business is sometimes can be very dangerous. So we should go by what we think and how we feel. And
but having seen you guys live so many times, to hear this new music and the energy in it and exactly that, it feels like the what you guys capture as a live band, which is so. I mean, I think Rick or Tom, you told me you guys never rehearse. People don't know. Rick references a second ago. These guys were nice enough to let me pick their set list one time, and I was like, "How do you know all these songs that I might just throw at you? Don't you have to rehearse them?" And one of you guys like, "We never rehearsed. We just do it." But that looseness and that fun and that sort of spontaneity and energy comes through. That's what's important.
If we make a mistake, it's over in 3 minutes. It's not like you're making a record where you got to think about it a little bit. But it's like, I think we went in with that attitude when we did the records. Like, it's like, you know, just go on and play it. Like, you know, you don't get a second chance here. You just go and do it. You know, there's probably little rough edges here and there. But it's like, for the most part, that's what we play like. That's what we sound like.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Robin goes in, we'll have tracks done. And he'll go in and try to do 4 and 5 a day. It's like impossible. No one else in the world would do it. But, you know, it's like, just go, well, you know, the instincts and the voice is there. Tom, the same way, it's just, I want to do a part here. It's like, you know, there's no chart written for doing, going in the studio, what you have to do. So you're kind of working on the fly. And when you work on the fly, it's like, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and what's the other thing I noticed is it's truly a group album. I mean, you guys have all contributed as far as the writing and the creation of these songs. Everybody really played a big role in making this music, and I think that really
it's
shows
a Cheap
too.
Trick record.
Yeah, everybody is involved in contributing, and really, I mean, all of it just leads into. I think it's a great record. How are you handling it? Playing it live? Well, we'll talk about that in a second because they're telling me I got to go to break in a second. You guys can stay. They said they can stay. They got to go? You got to go?
You
got to
go fairly soon here, yeah.
Oh.
Come on, Eddie.
Hey,
guess
what?
Just for your information, though, we do, like the last show we did 2 songs off of Bang Zoom Crazy Hello and 2 songs off of this new record, We're All Alright. So you're going to hear it live.
Good. My thanks to Rick, Robin, of course, Dax, and Tom. Cheap Trick. Check out their new album, We're All Right. Really good record. It's out there now. Always fun to see those guys. Hopefully we'll have time to do something more in-depth. Check them out now on the road with Foreigner and Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. I think the biggest takeaway out of that interview is Rick Nielsen saying they would not have gone out with Foreigner if Mick Jones did not commit to doing the tour. Really interesting and some sort of little jabs in there if you listen closely from Cheap Trick about Foreigner's situation and their recent playing with no original members. All right, break time. We're going to come back. Some brand new, fresh, young blood in the rock world. The group is called Greta Van Fleet. And when I tell you young, I'm talking just out of high school. We'll visit with them next.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, the king of shock rock is back and a past guest on the Eddie Trunk podcast. I'm talking about the legend, the pioneer of theatrical rock, Alice Cooper. He's got a new album, Paranormal, produced by longtime collaborator Bob Ezrin, also a recent former guest on the Eddie Trunk podcast. It features guest performances from ZZ Top's guitarist Billy Gibbons, U2 drummer Larry Mullen Jr., and Deep Purple's Roger Glover. Paranormal has 12 new songs, including Paranoiac Personality and the new single Genuine American Girl, which is one of the two brand new studio songs written and recorded by Dennis Dunaway, Neil Smith, and Michael Bruce, giving fans a mini reunion of the original Alice Cooper band. And the bonus disc also includes six killer live versions of some of the Coop's greatest hits, such as No More Mr. Nice Guy, Billion Dollar Babies, and School's Out, recorded in Columbus, Ohio, in 2016 and performed together with Alice Cooper's current band, which is also a killer band. As Alice says, Paranormal is like 12 great episodes of The Twilight Zone. Each song tells its own little twisted tale. Be sure to catch them on tour August 12th through September 10th with Deep Purple and the Edgar Winter Band. Paranormal is available now at Best Buy. Alice Cooper, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Check out his brand new record out now.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, so I just went on my iPhone and downloaded the brand new Podcast One app. You got to check it out. It's awesome. There's some great, great features about it. It makes it so much fun and easy to listen to any of the podcasts that you enjoy, including, of course, the Eddie Trunk Podcast. There's no other podcast app like this. Get the all-new Podcast One app. You can do so at the App Store or Google Play and find out everything about your favorite shows. Get more content, articles, episodes, comment, connect, 360 video. You can watch shows in virtual reality. There's so much cool stuff. It's so cool. What are you doing? You got to get it. Listen, watch, engage. The all-new Podcast One app. Get it now in the App Store or on Google Play.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
We're back with the Eddie Trunk Podcast, bringing you some fresh, young, new rock right now. The band is called Greta Van Fleet. They hail from Michigan. A lot of buzz on these guys. And we'll find out why, and we'll find out how it all happened as all the members of the band now join me in the studio again from my SiriusXM volume show. And you got it now here on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Enjoy. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Good to meet you. We're going to go around the horn. We have Jake Kiska on guitar. Good to see you, Jake.
Good to see you.
And Josh Kiska right next to me here on vocals. And then we've got Danny Wagner on drums.
Hello.
The only one without the last name Kiska, as you're about to find out.
Correct.
And Sam Kiska over on bass.
That's me.
Good to see you, Sam. So three brothers
yes.
in the band.
Yep.
Correct, yes.
Wow. How's that working out? You guys each other's throats yet or what?
Oh,
still
yeah.
too soon?
Yeah.
Definitely. We've been beating each other senseless for the last, who knows, few months.
Couple months, yeah. Couple months now.
Did you guys always get along?
Yeah,
I would pretty say much.
So. Yeah,
no sibling rivalries growing up.
No, just the little things, you know, those brawls you have, and you know that's
we know how to piss each other.
Oh,
off.
Yeah, thoroughly.
So
as long as we're not going after someone, then everything's good.
When it's time to push the button, we do.
It's like a nuclear device going on.
And Danny, as the non-brother in the lineup, how did you get connected with these guys? Did you guys grow up? Did you grow up with them? Or
yeah, we come from a small town, and we all went to the same high school. So that you know, I got to know them through childhood. I went to school with Sam, basically since kindergarten. He has two older brothers. We came over, or I came over. We all had to share, I guess, the shared love of music. So, you know, that's kind of how we got to know each other. We were always the weird kids.
Yeah, too. And we're in the same grade. We graduated together. And in school, like middle school, he was the only guy I could relate to music wise. Everybody like absolute crap. I'm like, what is this? But he knew rock and roll, and we would bounce stuff off each other, so that was really cool, and that's where we got along really well at a young age.
Other than that, they didn't.
Correct.
Are any of you guys still in high school? Did I read or just
Sam and Danny just graduated?
June 1st, we graduated.
You just graduated high school. Wow,
we're out.
We're out of the system.
All right. So, talking about music. And people who have heard your band, Greta Van Fleet, which I know you're going to get asked this 1,000 times, and you probably have already, but since you are a new band and you're probably new to a lot of people listening, tell the story behind the name.
Well, way back about 5 years ago, that's so way back far for us. Back in the day, you know.
For real, you're probably like 12, 13 at that point.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. That's Sam and Danny with 18, Jake and I were 16 at that time. So it was kind of the first big show we would ever play was the day to follow the. I mean, we were going racking our brains for a name for God knows how long, going through these things. Going, you know, it just doesn't feel right. It'll come. And we had no choice, you know, because it was a big performance that we were going to be having the next day, the first real thing we would do at a festival, and it was like, well. It's now or never, so, I mean, our original drummer that we had with us for a year came back from lunch with his grandfather, and his grandfather had mentioned, well, I'll drop you off so you guys can practice. I gotta go chop wood for Gretna Van Fleet, who was a town elder, you know, so he's been around, and is the older generation from where we come from, you know, it's Gretna Van Fleet. So we took the N out, so it'd be more fluid, and that was it.
And that's what we do in Michigan. We chop wood.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all
I thought
we
you
do.
Were going to say take the N out. I don't know. We take the N out. Take the N out of everywhere.
We're from Michigan. Michigan's pretty
Michigan.
Cool.
Yeah.
Michigan. But hey, Michigan has brought some amazing rock bands over the decades, so if you guys can be put into that category down the line as things develop.
Oh, that would be that'd flattering. Be
pretty darn cool.
Some great acts. All of Motown, though. That's where I learned how to play bass. You got Stevie and MC5, Bob Seger.
Grand Funk.
Yeah, Grand Funk.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit because, you know, as Sam mentioned, you guys are, as the audience has figured out, young guys. And you have the bands you just rattled off, Sam. I mean, that's not the music that most people in their late teens are going to know. So, and there's been a lot of comparisons made to your music to 70s rock acts already. Mm-hmm. So where does that come from? Was it your parents, or did you guys just seek it out on your own? Like, where does that imprint of that old school music come from?
That was all the vinyl laying around. Yeah, you know, that we listened to early on when we were really young. So that was
we
like
were surrounded
all we
by
knew.
From your families.
From the beginning, yeah, from our families.
So that's just what we grew up on. That's what we listened to. That's what we loved.
Lots of blues and funk. That's all we listened to. We didn't listen to any, I mean, contemporary stuff at that time. We didn't understand it. It wasn't the same language we spoke because we weren't familiar with it, and it didn't feel natural.
Honestly, as a child, I really didn't know that there was any other type of music that existed because that's just all I was exposed to.
Well, Danny, same deal because you obviously are not part of their family, so for you, the same thing. Your parents.
You know, I couldn't drive, so I was driven everywhere by my parents, and the music choice was obviously
well,
up to them.
When I was five, I was driving. I don't know what's
wrong. Yeah, what's
wrong
with you?
Not well. But yes,
no, I was
I
fantastic
mean, that's,
driver.
that's all I was exposed to as a kid. I didn't know there was anything else, and I loved it. I learned to love it, and I still do.
I love those neat little things you remember. You know, like Booker T and the MGs, Green Onions, or something like that. Was like the coolest track. Yeah. You
see,
know?
For somebody like me, that's even old.
Yeah.
You know, for you guys, you know, that's amazing. You know, it's really cool that you had that sort of, DNA put into you very early on. And did that, I would imagine that influenced you to want to be a band and play music? I mean, let me start with Josh on that, because Josh, your voice is crazy. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that as a compliment.
Thank you.
But when did you know you could sing like that?
I don't know. It was just kind of always something I was doing. It's just singing, you know, that I liked. It was just something that would come out. You know, it just feels like, oh, I would love to put my touch on this or that. And it was just a way to feel, you know.
And we did theater, too.
And I did theater, and along with theater was musical theater. And to be honest with you, I don't know that theater was ever really my thing, you know. But it was kind of like when we started really getting our thing together, we had some kind of sound. We were just moving around all of these influences and seeing what came of it. And I found that the most power I could get out of my voice was singing like that. And it sort of developed by itself over some period of time. And that at the beginning, I would have to say, it was very rough. You know, it's hard to sing like that. But, you know, it's not like it was ever super intentional. It was just me trying to find the power.
The thing you have to be careful of is that you do what I've talked to a lot of bands about. You paint yourself into a corner. Yeah. You're doing stuff at a very young age right now vocally, and then all of a sudden, if you have some hit records, which of course you hope you have, and you have this great success, all of a sudden, very quickly, you're going to find yourself at 45 having hit those notes, and
right.
Be like, shit, how do I do that? You know,
I just want to put in good 10 years, and then when I'm getting, you know... you know, older, and I don't know, I assume I'm going to explode, like, you know, I don't know, like, you know, after so long, I don't know if I want to do it, but I want to do what I can when it feels right at this time.
So are you serious about that? You have a designated amount of time you want to do this and then do something else?
I initially never really saw being a singer in a band as a serious career goal. It just actually came about, and I went with that. So I think in time I'd like to get to be a filmmaker, which is my initially what I wanted to do, or an actor. You know, and I love writing. If I can do that, I'll be happy. But yeah, 10 years I think is a solid time to put in some work, and then I think I want to be hands off.
So you're not going to allow anybody to say, "Oh, that guy got old and hit the wall."
Sure. You know, that also comes. That's a good benefit from doing it that way, I guess. You know.
But. How about you guys? Are you lifers for music, or do you also have a long-term get out plan?
I don't know how I could leave it.
That's Sam. So Sam's a lifer.
I'm also a lifer.
Lifer. And
if I make
Jake,
music,
yeah, I don't think that there would be a way out of it if I tried myself.
And it might catch me, snag me, because I can't say that I would be making the same kind of music, you know, in 10 years, or that I would want to do it with, you know, this sound. But maybe because all of us have so many influences, it'd be like great to go and do something else.
Sounds like the band's breaking up already.
We've just got our game plan, you know?
You just got a deal, you got your first EP out, and, well, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, but we were That's watching great. A band get born and break up at the same time.
I know where you live.
Right, folks,
the birth of death. The birth of death.
So you guys start, in a nutshell, your story is you all come together very early, very young. You get this band going in Michigan, and you start playing, and then where it is, because you've been signed to a major label record deal, you've got a lot of stuff in place, you just released your debut EP, where and how do people start sniffing around you guys? Like, where does the first label interest come from? Did you go out and seek it, or did they kind of find you?
We never seeked any sort of... I guess we just what we were doing is making music we wanted to listen to for fun and to feel good, so it just developed into this kind of thing where, you know, it wasn't about fame or money or we want to be rock stars or anything like that. But it was eventually we ended up in Rust Belt Studios in Royal Oak to do, you know, about 2 years of work just to have the work, you know, for whatever reason that would serve. And eventually, I mean, it kept getting passed to the next guy, and the word got around, and then eventually they came to us, you know, and asked, well, how about you come on board, you know?
Yeah, because all we wanted to do was make authentic music that was fun to play and fun to listen to. Mm-hmm. Just good music.
Right. Well, you know, and with what's going on with you guys, I'm sure you know that there is a lot of, there's a good buzz building and a lot of hype coming right out of the gate. Do you feel pressure by that? Was it kind of more than...
Not at all.
That you didn't... You welcome it?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
We're really on board with all the support that people are giving us, and it's crazy, and it's very flattering, and we're loving it.
It's like everybody looks for that acceptance, you know?
Right.
When you're creating art, so we've had a lot of that, and I don't think any of us have expected that it was going to garner that much attention, and like right out of the gate. So it was kind of like, yeah... We're into that. We're okay. It's like, sure, we'll take it. You know,
right? Because there is, and I know talking to my audience and having done this, what I do for a really long time, there's a lot of rock fans out there looking for that next great rock band that's going to give the whole scene a kick in the pants and really bring rock back into prominence. A statistic came out yesterday, which a lot of people had sent to me, really, you know, to get me riled up, that Nielsen or one of the surveys came out and they said that rock is no longer the number one dominant music. It's been surpassed as of like this year by hip hop. And that's crushing to me as a lifelong rock guy.
Well, you know.
Don't worry, Eddie. What I'm basically saying
is I'm putting the whole future of rock on your shoulders right now.
We'll take it.
No problem. Not a big deal.
We have settled into the idea that we have a great deal of responsibility.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Not only rock and roll, but bringing the blues back.
I just want good music, good real soul music. I don't care.
Like, I don't care what the style of music is, as long as it's quality, authentic, and it's good music.
Yeah, that's really good.
Right, you're actually playing it, and it's not a bunch of tracks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a thing you hold and you strum. And
But that's another thing, that's and I rant about that all the time. I mean, tons of these bands, I go to these festivals and shows, and people in the audience, oh, my God, they sounded so great. The vocals were so great. Idiot, they're on tracks. Yeah. See the drummer wearing those headphones? They're just tracks. He's triggering tracks. It's like, so real bands playing real music is really what is needed
right now.
We
greatly refuse to idea of bringing in tracks. I don't know how that'll be. Backing
tracks. I don't think we ever have
backing
either.
Tracks.
Oh, where's
the
band?
We don't even have.
If we want a sound, maybe we bring somebody in to make that sound organically. Right. Yeah, an instrument, you know.
How do you feel about, as you know, when people hear your music, the first thing they sort of compare you to is Led Zeppelin? And I think that has a lot to do, Josh, with your voice, because your voice is astonishingly strong and very much in that sort of world. You embrace it?
Yes.
Or does it bother you to hear that so much?
No, we're honored by that. I mean, that is a huge compliment to us. Who have listened to that stuff coming up, and that's an incredible band, you know, Led Zeppelin. It's like worse things could have happened, you know? So it could have been something else that maybe wasn't so flattering, but that's to us is great.
Was it a conscious thing to sound like them, or did it just kind of naturally happen, do you think?
Oh, no, it wasn't conscious at all.
I think we share the same influences in a lot of ways.
That has a lot to do with it.
The glue that bonds us is the blues. You know, we all got off on that, and that, I think, was the initial backbone of the whole thing.
There's no way to deny that that's certainly one of the contributors to why it may sound like that.
A lot of people ask why we play rock and roll, and it's not like we consciously chose, oh, let's play some rock and roll. It's just, this is how we play, you know? And when we come together as a group, that's what the sound comes out as.
But that's a really good point because, as you guys said, you have that old school blues influence in your music. And as many people know, Zeppelin rewrote basically some of those songs, or in some instances, just basically ripped them off.
Yeah, no, they're plagiarists,
right? So,
plainly put,
but
are all musicians?
Well, that's the thing, Sam. You know, you're going to get that level that you guys, if you get bigger, that you've plagiarized them. You know that's coming down the pipe.
Yeah, sure. but you know, in music, when a new act comes out, people always have to say, oh, this is rock, this is pop, this is alternative.
This sounds like
and
this.
Some
that
reason,
like that.
You have to classify
or
music. Which
it.
Yeah, you have to categorize
that's to understand it.
But
that's a human instinct. That's what you do. And the first thing you do is you try to find something else to compare something new to.
Some sort
of explanation. To identify
with it. I would love to
it.
See where this goes once it digests. You know, once things start rolling and the next piece of body work comes out.
All I have to say about it is wait for our full-length album. Probably in about 6 to 9 months, as soon as we can get time to get back in the studio with that after our headlining tour
initially,
in August.
The idea was we were going to release another EP after the first to make an album.
Okay.
But because of the attention that it's had, it's kind of like, to us, we have to go and make a full-length album because that's the demand now.
There's a lot more sides of Greta Van Fleet than there is on just the hard-hitting rock tracks on the EP, Black
Snake. That's what, and the people who have said that to me as well about you guys, because there's been a lot of people, as soon as you guys came out and as soon as the video for was it Highway?
Highway
Tune hit, you know, people know that what you do is very much right in my wheelhouse of what I love. And there are a lot of bands right now kind of channeling what you guys are doing. There's a band called Rival Sons. I don't know if you know them. I love that band. And so many others that I listen to that I really dig the direction. But it's been frustrating for me because I haven't seen one really breakthrough big yet. Some of them do okay. Some of them don't do well at all. But none of them have gone over the hump and gotten big yet. So I'm always looking for that band. And a lot of people sent me your thing saying, hey, here's another one. And I said, that's great, but obviously you guys are so young. the real thing is going to be, let's see where it goes. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure you're still kind of figuring out direction and learning more about where you want to go and your writing and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So it's got to ferment a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's right. What the digesting thing is. I think it just has to evolve, and it has. And I think there's a lot we're holding back right now for intentional purposes. I think it'd be good for us to have that ability to choose what's going to come next.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, they're giving me the high sign. I got to end because you got to go, and I got Cheap Trick coming in, so we got to keep rolling here. But when the records – you're on tour now, right?
Yeah.
So people, website where they can find the dates?
Yeah.
Yes.
GretaVanFleet.com. That woman in Michigan's got to be totally honored by
the way. She is. Yeah, thank God for that.
All right, great to meet you. Good luck. I'm rooting for you, man. We need music like what you guys are doing out there. So good luck to you, and thanks for coming by. And when you got the whole record ready, come back and hang out with us.
We'll see you then, Eddie.
Thanks, guys.
Sounds good.
Thanks to the guys and Greta Van Fleet for dropping by. Looking forward to their full-length record to come very, very soon, and wish them a lot of luck. I'm rooting for them. We need new young rock bands kicking some butt. It's good to see all the buzz going for them. We'll see how that pans out going forward and appreciate their time. Got to take a break. We'll come back with our third and final interview. Last but certainly not least, Mr. Mike Portnoy talking about his just-announced new band. That is next.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
A&E's Emmy-nominated groundbreaking docuseries Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath returns for season 2 on August 13th with 10 all-new episodes. Join Leah Remini and her crew, along with high-level former Scientology executives and church members. They delve deep into the stories of abuse, heartbreak, and harassment experienced by those who have left the church and spoken publicly about their experiences. This season, Leah Remini continues her quest to give a voice to victims of the Church of Scientology. The series also explores accounts of former members whose lives have been significantly impacted by the church's practices. Remini is helping people take action, turning survivors into fighters, revealing truths, and seeking justice. Watch the first season of Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath online, on demand, and on the A&E app.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new, amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon, Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife, Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.
The triple header on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast. And now we are joined by Mike Portnoy, a dear friend for many, many years. Mike, a man of many bands. He's announced a new one called Sons of Apollo. In the interview you're about to hear, Mike talks about the stigma attached to being a guy in so many bands, and all about this brand new supergroup that is formed. So here we go with Mike Portnoy. Again, this audio courtesy of Trunk Nation on Sirius XM Volume, which is daily on Channel 106, live Monday to Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. Replay every night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. And here we go with Mike Portnoy. What's going on, brother?
Hey, how you doing, Ed?
You know, I wanted to ask you this, and I've talked to you about this before, but I've often said this. I give you credit because you, at the time you broke with Dream Theater, it was over the fact that you wanted to play with a lot of different bands and a lot of different people, and you have. But you took blowback for that, and now literally everybody does it. Do you feel vindicated in some ways?
I still feel blowback from it, even with today's announcement. We announced the new band Sons of Apollo a few hours ago, and I've been up reading the lines, reading the comments online, and I'm still seeing constant posts like, oh my God, how many bands is Portnoy going to be in? Oh my God, is this 87 bands from blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, it's still a topic that people like to, you know, to harass me about. But I think the fact of the matter is I could handle it. I think I'm just a workaholic, and I'm very strategic in how I coordinate and work my schedule and make sure everything fits and everything works. And people get the misconception thinking, oh, I start a band, then I quit, then I start a band, then I quit. Out of the 87 bands I've been in, I've only ever left two. One was Dream Theater after 25 years, and one was Adrenaline Mob, just because that was at a point where I couldn't juggle everything. But other than that, everything I'm a part of, I stick with and develop and work with. And, you know, if I could juggle all these bands and make it work, then why the fuck not?
Were you really in 87 bands?
I think...
Did you ever count them all?
Jokingly, but I think there is an actual number, and I think it's about 27 or 28.
All right, I was going to say. 87 might be a little much, but 27 sounds...
28 is reasonable.
But you know what I'm... But my point about all this, and we're of course going to talk about this new band that was announced today in a second, but my point about all this, and I'm not just saying this because we're friends, and in disclosure, everybody knows we're friends, but I'm saying it because I talked to Lars Ulrich about this in a similar way. Like, Lars Ulrich was the guy, he took all the blowback about the Napster thing and people downloading music. And in retrospect, he was right. It destroyed the music industry. So I've talked to Lars about it. It's in a way, do you kind of feel vindicated? Because now everybody's talking about that being a problem, and it became one. For you, everyone, like I was saying earlier, it's hard to find a musician that isn't in at least two bands, sometimes three at the average.
Right.
So when you kind of started doing a lot of that, it was out of the norm. And you know, it's got to kind of feel like, yeah, I told you that this was where this was all headed.
Right. Well, I mean, I will say, you know, thank you for giving me somewhat of the credit, but there were a few people that before me that I could think of, and they were usually singers. Like Mike Patton did a lot, Phil Anselmo did a lot,
yeah.
Corey Taylor, Dave Grohl. So, that, you know, there was a precedent before me. It's not like I was the first person doing it, but I think since Dream Theater, I've done so many things and so many different bands, and literally it feels like there's another one that gets added to the list every year, not to mention, you know, helping bands out like Twisted Sister or Avenged Sevenfold. So, yeah, the list keeps getting longer and longer and longer. But the fact of the matter is, if you're somebody that loves music like I do, or Dave Grohl does, or Mike Patton does, you know, you want to do different things. You want to play with different people. You want to... You know, if you're an actor doing films, you don't want to play the same role the rest of your life. You want to work with different directors and other actors and other screenwriters and try different roles and different genres. So to me, it's no different as a musician.
All right, let's talk about band number 28, if that's what it is. Today you announced, and I knew this was coming down the pike, and today was the official announcement just a couple hours ago, as you said. The band is called Sons of Apollo. I like the name, actually. Take us through how this came together.
Well, Derek Sherinian and myself, as you know, we were together in Dream Theater back in the 90s. And one of the first things I did do after leaving Dream Theater in 2010 is I reunited with Derek at that point, and we put together a touring band just doing all instrumental music with him, myself, Billy Sheehan, and Tony McAlpine. And really, it was a great band, a lot of fun. We had a good time playing together, but it was only ever an instrumental kind of live thing. And at that point, Derek was trying to nudge me into doing a full-time band. At that point, when writing some original music and maybe adding a singer, and at that point, it just wasn't right. At that point, I had Flying Colors and Adrenaline Mob, and Billy and I were about to do the Winery Dog. So the time was just not right at that point. But I guess about six months ago or so, Derek started nudging me again, and the time was right. You know, Winery Dogs were on a hiatus. I was finishing up with Twisted Sister. So it actually felt like, okay, now's a good time. Let's do this. So we brought Bumblefoot on board, and added Jeff Scott Soto, and of course Billy was already on board, so that's how Sons of Apollo was born.
Now the record is done already?
It is. I'm actually in L.A. right now. I've been here for a few days already shooting videos with the band. So we've been actually together the last couple of days filming videos and doing interviews and photo sessions and doing all the prep work for the album's release. But yeah, the album's completely done.
And direction-wise, you know, I've seen some stuff already posted online that you've announced this from people just looking at the players and saying, oh, it's going to be a prog supergroup, or is this going to be hard rock, or is this going to be like a harder Winery Dogs, or, you know, I mean, people are already speculating about the direction and what it's going to sound like with all these players involved. What can you tell people about what the direction and sound is like when they finally hear this?
I don't want to put too many preconceptions in people's minds, but we did put out a little teaser today, a 2-minute teaser with little bits and pieces of various songs. So you can get a little bit of a feel for the style and direction. And it also mentions in the press release that, you know, kind of the blueprint was to kind of take the, you know, the stuff that Derek and I used to do in Dream Theater and combine it with the swagger of maybe Van Halen or Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, you know. So it's somewhere between prog metal and classic rock. I don't know. It's got crazy Dream Theater-esque technical sections and instrumental sections, and it's got a three epic songs on the album, but then the rest of the album is filled with songs that are a little bit more grounded and a little bit more accessible in terms of you know, general composition. I think Jeff's vocals really help ground the whole thing, because you know, you have Derek and myself with the progressive metal background, and then you have Bumblefoot and Billy Sheehan just doing all of the crazy Eat 'em and Smiles type unisons. So I think Jeff is really the anchor, giving the whole thing a very smooth, listenable, accessible sound. So it's a great combination of players and styles.
How did the writing come together? It sounds like you and Derek were really the core of this. Like, this was kind of like your brainchild, but did everybody come in and write, or did you and Derek do most of the writing and then the other guys joined in? How did the creative end work?
Well, Derek and I are producing the album, but basically the music was myself, Derek, and Bumblefoot for most of the time in the studio. Billy wasn't there for a bit of the start of the session because he was out with Mr. Big. So myself, Derek, and Ron got the majority of the music together at the very beginning. And then Billy joined us after a little while. And then the four of us, you know, collaborated on the remainder of the music. And then once that was done, myself and Derek spent a lot of time with Jeff on all the vocals and the melodies and the lyrics. So it was really a true collaboration. You know, me and Derek overseeing the music along with Bumblefoot and Billy, and then me and Derek overseeing the vocals with Jeff. And you put it all together into the giant melting pot, and it's pretty fucking awesome.
Now, you know, you are not, because like I said, playing in more than one band is the norm now for everybody, it seems. You are not the only guy in this band that is in more than one band. Everybody else is, too. I mean, everybody in this band has at least one or two other things going on as well. So have you guys addressed that? Are you going to have you carved out time in everyone's schedule to try to do live shows or touring with this band?
Absolutely. And all five of us are really excited about this and are definitely focused on it and are committed to it. I know Derek just announced the new Black Country Communion album. I don't want to speak on their behalf, but from what Derek says, there's not going to be a lot of touring with that.
No, that's been the story of that band since they formed, unfortunately, and that's where they've gotten into some trouble, differing opinions there.
Exactly. So that won't be an obstacle. And the only other obstacle is Jeff's commitment to a Trans-Siberian Orchestra. He does TSO every year. So basically that's kind of prolonging our kickoff for the world tour till after the holidays. So the album is actually coming out October 20th. And then at that point, you know, the ball will get rolling. People will get familiar with the music. And once Jeff finishes up TSO and the clock strikes 2018, we're on the road, and we're going to hit the ground running, and we're going to be out all throughout 2018 with this. It's definitely a full-time band.
There are, and because I was, you know, so close to the band with the Winery Dogs, there is a lot of people who are fans of that band who are, I'm going to be honest, very concerned out there, because you're doing this amongst other things. Richie, who was on this show not long ago, is out on his own doing his solo thing. Everyone's saying, you know, Richie said he does not feel the band is done, and everyone's saying they want to reconvene that band. I know there's a live DVD and a CD coming out soon, so there's something coming out from the last tour. But, you know,
that Friday, actually.
Oh, it's coming out this Friday. Okay. So what would you say to those people? I mean, are you guys, I mean, you and Billy now, two-thirds of the Winery Dogs are in Sons of Apollo, and then Richie's out on his trip doing his solo thing. So how do you address the concern from Winery Dogs fans about where, you know, how they feel this might all be heading?
It's very simple, and there's no need to be concerned. Me, Billy, and Richie all love the Winery Dogs, and there's definitely more ahead. We're just on a break at the moment. And I think it's no secret that, you know, it was mainly Richie that wanted some time to focus on his solo stuff, and we're fine with that. Billy and I are, you know, are totally cool with that. Billy still has Mr. Big, and I still have all the other things going. So, you know, the idea was we'll take a few years off. We have the live album coming out this Friday, live CD and DVD and Blu-ray. And, you know, all three of us love the Winery Dogs, and we will reconvene. I don't think it's a problem with Billy and I being in two different bands together, because personally I'm in three different bands with Neil Morse, and Neil and I have been doing that for almost 20 years now. And Neil and I, when we work together, we kind of flip-flop our, you know, the cycles. You know, Neil and I will do the Neil Morse band, then we'll do Transatlantic, then we do Flying Colors, and it's never been a problem for Neil and I, so I see no reason why Billy and I can't be in two bands together as well.
You've got a show coming up. I saw you do this on the Cruise to the Edge, on your birthday cruise, the Shattered Fortress. That's coming up with a U.S. show. That's a date in New York at Irving Plaza coming soon in September, right? That'll be the last time you do the Dream Theater set, the 12-step?
That'll be the last time in the States, yeah. But we still have a few more runs ahead of us. We just did a whole European tour with the Shattered Fortress, and it was absolutely awesome, and people loved it. And yeah, we have the New York show on September 24th. We have a show in Mexico, and we have Prog Power in Atlanta, and then we have a South American run in October and an Australian run in November, and that'll be a wrap for that. You know, I've said all along, revisiting the Dream Theater material and doing the Shattered Fortress is, you know, just for this year, just for my 50th birthday year, as my gift back to the fans, finally playing this music and, you know, revisiting this music has been really an awesome emotional experience. And I've loved doing it, and the fans have loved seeing it. And honestly, it kind of wet my whistle to kind of get back into the prog metal genre. So the timing was really good for me and Derek to do Sons of Apollo, because coming off of the Shattered Fortress experience, I think anybody that saw the Shattered Fortress shows got very excited about me playing progressive metal again. And so I think Sons of Apollo will be a great follow-up to quench that thirst from the fans that have seen the Shattered Fortress shows.
Well, thanks to Mike Portnoy, and indeed, rest in peace to David Z. I was talking a little bit about that earlier in this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. Looking forward to hearing Mike's new band, Sons of Apollo. I've yet to hear any of the music, but he assures me he'll be sending me some songs soon, and I greatly look forward to that. And appreciate Mike taking some time out to do his first interview about this brand new band, whose record will be coming out in October. Thanks also this week to Greta Van Fleet and Cheap Trick. What up? Action-packed, jammed Eddie Trunk podcast. Thanks to Katie Irizarry for producing and putting it all together. I'll see you next Thursday for another all-new episode. Remember, connect with me on social media. Where I'm most active would be Twitter, at Eddie Trunk, Instagram, Facebook, also at Eddie Trunk, and eddietrunk.com is the website. Catch you guys on the radio, hopefully, and then back here next Thursday for another Eddie Trunk podcast. Have a good week.
heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was right. Basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
You know what? I think you and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.